Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you this day, Tuesday, March 3rd. Each month we take a look at some of the articles in the newest Lutheran Witness, and we're going to do that today. We'll talk with the managing editor, Adrian Hines, as well as some contributors this month. Hope you can stick around for the conversation. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website, kfuo.org. You can find them in the sponsor section. Look for the big CUW logo there in the sponsor section. I encourage you to go check it out. Click on their link there and find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Joining us by phone today, a Concordia University, Wisconsin alumna. I always get that backwards.
Well done.
Alumna. Adrian Hines, managing editor of Lutheran Witness and LCMS Catechetical Information. Good morning, Mrs. Hines.
Good morning.
How are you today?
We are doing well. It's gray and foggy, but spring is on its way, and that makes us happy.
You just keep telling yourself that over and over again, right?
I do. Anything to get me through the day.
At least we've got some precipitation, so not everything's going to, you know, have a dry year this year, at least to start. Hopefully you'll have some nice weather to, or plenty of moisture to get everything growing out there in central Missouri.
We'll take green over brown any day, that's for sure.
Well, tell us about this month's Lutheran Witness, Taboo.
Yeah.
Can we talk about it, or is it
taboo? It's taboo. We have to sit in silence for the next 20 minutes.
Okay.
This month, we focused on the presentations that were given at the recent Taboo Conference. It was the second national campus ministry conference that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod hosted. And we did that in January, had about 450 young adults in college there. And the theme, which we ran with in this issue, was taboo. It focused on the things that the world doesn't want us to talk about. It focused on things maybe the church hasn't talked about in the past, things that we feel we shouldn't talk about because we might offend people or have different beliefs from someone else. So we took the presentations that these young adults heard and learned from and discussed and turned those into short one-page articles on a variety of topics, everything from contraception to the death penalty, and put those out there because I think that those are helpful things to talk about beyond just our young adults. I think it's something that all of us in the church could stand to look at and learn from.
I have to say, I liked the one-page formats.
Yes.
The one-page articles. They were really short reads, and I know that's it makes me a bad reader, but
no. Sometimes I think it's really helpful if you're dashing from here to there, or you're a mom cooking dinner. You have a second to sit down and read something. You may not be able to read a 6-page article, but you can read a 1-page article pretty quickly. And especially for our campus pastors or our church workers, anyone who might want to use this issue, it makes for a quick read and a discussion to be had that you could do fairly quickly without having to eat up your whole day.
I think this would be a great follow-up to any student who attended the campus ministry, the Taboo Conference as well.
Absolutely.
Kind of a nice recap of the sectionals of the speakers that they got to hear at the conference.
And one of the great things about this is that we heard from a lot of the students that because there were so many sectionals and you only have so many hours in the day, you maybe didn't get to attend them all. And for those of us in the church who aren't in college and who didn't get to attend at all, it fills that need both for the young people who wanted to hear more and for those of us who heard about the conference and wished we could go, wished we were still in college to be able to hear all of this.
Well, let's talk about who were some of the contributors this month. Obviously, all speakers at the LCMSU Taboo Conference. But let's take a look at today. We're going to talk with the Reverend Max Mons from LCMSU, St. Paul's Lutheran Church in University City in our university in Iowa City, and Deaconess Shana Mitchell from Ball State, and Deaconess Tiffany Manor from LCMS New England District about their articles. So I'm looking forward to talking with them. Let's talk about some of the articles that you liked from this month or that you want to highlight.
Right. I think that the folks who put the Taboo Conference together, and Pastor Marcus Ill in particular, did a great job of focusing on marriage and family. Those are two big topics that we see the culture really kind of putting the kibosh on. We know that we have an important Supreme Court case coming up. The ruling will be in June on same-sex marriage. And so one of the important things that they wanted to do at Taboo was to lift up marriage as the church has understood it, as Scripture outlines it and our Lord defines it, as something that's a beautiful thing, and children are a beautiful thing. Marriage and family, all that comes with that, are good things. Oftentimes we're always kind of focusing on what the culture has to say, and it's good to stop and say, oh, this is what the church believes, and these are good gifts, and we should pray for those things. So a couple of the articles that I found helpful in that regard, Pastor Mons's was certainly wonderful, things to talk about before you get engaged, before you get married. And the beauty of that one, which I'm sure he'll talk about, is the fact that it goes for our young adults in college who might be wanting to get married, and also older folks, too. Anybody at any age can find something in these articles, and especially in one that talks about relationships and marriage and the expectations you can have going into that. Another one that I think will be probably a little bit taboo in our own church is by Pastor Gary Zeroth, talking about children and the mentality of our culture to focus more on the needs of the adults than on the needs of the children. A lot of times we hear folks say, oh my goodness, you've got 3 or 4 kids, that's so many, how do you do it, how do you have any time to yourself, instead of looking at children and all that comes with children, as you well know, a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of hard work, seeing that as a blessing and a joy instead. He does a great job of kind of calling us to arms and saying, hey, can we talk about our children? Can we talk about the fact that children are a blessing? Let's get back to that time and place where we saw children as a gift instead of a burden. And whether you're in college or not, I think that's a helpful discussion to have. So there's several throughout this issue that focus on you know, those kind of themes. There's one by Pastor Craig D'Onofrio about the mystery of the sexes. He talks about men and women and the difference between them. It turns out there are a lot of differences between men and women. Who knew? But just helping our young people and even those of us who are married, those who are single, those who have been married for 50 years, there's something in there for everyone explaining how God has made men and women different, but how he's also made them to complement one another, and how much joy that can bring. So if you see a reoccurring thread of marriage and family and relationships, that's why, because we certainly find that important, especially for our young people who are hearing something very different on their college campuses.
All good stuff. I'm looking forward to talking with the writers here in just a little bit about those very things that you were talking about. All the stuff that applies to college students, certainly. This was a, you know, campus ministry thing. But some of these topics I found very helpful for me. And yeah, as a parent, as you were talking about, my own experience as a parent, all helpful stuff to know and to read. It's just nice to hear someone else's perspective. I guess that's one of the things I liked about this particular issue, was how they seemed very... like real people, not that other writers aren't, but I don't know. I felt like I was learning, getting a slice of life, a day in their own lives too, hearing what they personally deal with in campus ministry or in daily life.
That's one of the joys, I think, of being able to work on The Witness, is being able to find pastors and lay people and church workers who deal with this on a daily basis and being able to draw from that, because a lot of times for us, we may not necessarily see this in our own life, but we know that we have fellow Lutherans who are working through these kinds of issues on a day-to-day basis. I think our college campuses are some of the most hotly contested places when it comes to the faith. And so to be able to have people in our corner, Lutherans just like us, help walk us through that, that's one of the great joys of being in the body of Christ, is that they're dealing with it on a day-to-day basis, and we get to learn from them and glean all that helpful information from what they've been through.
Absolutely. Well, any online content as well this month? I know you all maintain some pretty regular online content. Anything else? Does it follow along the same theme or other information?
This month it'll be a Lenten sort of feel. We've got a few articles up already about working your way through the Lenten season, a couple of helpful ones on prayer and fasting and how we often consider Lent as a time when we have to give things up instead of considering that it might be a time to make way for Jesus to give us still more of himself in our worship during Lent. So I think you can expect to see some things along that line as we work our way through this Lenten season. But no, it'll be very different content from what we find in the magazine this month.
Well, good. It's nice to be able to follow the seasons of the church year as well. And I always appreciate the online content.
Absolutely.
And what about in the coming months, what do we have to look ahead to?
Right. Well, next month, we're actually going to focus on vocation. I think a lot of times we...
Vacation?
I wish. That doesn't come till the summertime.
Oh, okay.
But they often go hand in hand, so that's good. A lot of times we think of vocation as simply a job, that, you know, you go to work and mm-hmm. you work at the radio station, I work at a magazine, and that's our job or our vocation. But we're unpacking even more than that, that our vocation is our holy calling, and Luther actually wrote a lot about this. It was very different from what he was being taught in his day, and he unpacks the fact that there's actually different vocations in different areas of life, in the family, in society, in the church, and then what that means. It means that our young people have vocations, even as little children. It means our grandmas and grandpas have vocations, even mm-hmm. when they don't have children at home or may not be able to actively work in society anymore. So we're just going to take a sort of multi-generational approach to what that looks like and what that means and how each one of us in the church has been given a gift by God to care for those around us. That'll be next month. And then in May, we're focusing on our Office of International Mission Work. So you'll get to meet missionaries from around the world. You'll get to hear what their day is like, the crazy food they eat, and the people they interact with, and see a variety of beautiful pictures of how the Lord is using them to the very ends of the earth. I think it's going to be a fascinating issue. It's not so much focused on any sort of deep theological content, but it is focused on how the Lord uses these men and women day to day and what that looks like. So I think that'll be a fun, special issue to kind of see what they're doing.
Indeed, indeed. Being here at the International Center, I have the privilege of meeting a lot of the new missionaries as they're preparing to go out into the field. And new missionary orientation is happening right now. It just started yesterday and going on for the next 2 weeks. And so we have the privilege here at the International Center of getting to meet a lot of those people. But I think it is so valuable, so important for the rest of our church body to get to meet these people who are serving out in the field. So thanks for doing that, for doing a whole article, or I mean a whole issue on our missionaries and letting them share their story about how the Lord is using them in their vocations, serving all over the world.
Absolutely. I think we have a very different sort of mission field than maybe what we expect. I think a lot of times we think it's still kind of Dr. Livingston style where you're, you know, hacking with a machete through the bush, and it doesn't necessarily always look like that anymore. And so it'll be neat to be able to showcase where in some cases it still does look like that, mm-hmm. but in some cases where our partner churches are asking for theological educators, where they're asking for folks to come help plant churches. So I think it'll be kind of an eye-opener to some folks, and then just a fun read to get to see our fellow Lutherans just doing exciting stuff and rejoicing to do so. So we'll get to live vicariously through them for at least one issue.
That's awesome. That's exciting. Well, we can obviously find this, as we pointed out before, the Lutheran Witness. We can find it in a couple of formats, print format, or we can find it in electronic format. How can we find that?
Absolutely. You can either go to witness.lcms.org, and you'll find our free online content there, as well as links to how to find our Facebook page, how to order online. If you want to bypass that and you strictly just want to go order the magazine, you can go to cph.org, and you can get it either in print or to your iPad, or you can get both. So be sure and check that out. This month, just we've got a really great variety of articles, everything from end-of-life discussions to sexuality to contraception, just a whole variety of things there. And as always, we're anxious to hear from our readers. We're always happy to get letters to the editor. So be sure and read some of those articles and let us know what you think or if you found them helpful or not.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much, Adrian, managing editor of the Lutheran Witness and LCMS Catechetical Information. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with the Reverend Max Mons, pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church and University Center in Iowa City. Hope you can stick around for that and more contributors to the March 2015 Lutheran Witness. Stick around for more Faith and Family right after this break.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Over the last couple of years, I've been telling you I'm optimistic we're winning the battle over abortion. Here's more proof. Gallup, one of the most highly regarded polling firms in the nation, has revealed some very bad news for pro-abortion activists. People were asked if they were dissatisfied with current policies on abortion. If they said yes, they were then asked why. 24% said they want stricter abortion laws. This is twice as many as those who want abortion laws to be less strict. Also, a November poll on ending abortion after 5 months because the baby can feel pain shows support across the board, especially with women. Those who think killing unborn babies is good for America are on the losing side of history, and they're shrinking in numbers.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are talking about the 2015 March Lutheran Witness, and joining us by phone today, the Reverend Max Mons, pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church and University Center in Iowa City. Good morning, Pastor Mons.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, sir. Thanks for being our guest today. How are things going? You're at University of Iowa, is that right?
Correct.
Very good. Well, how are things going there at St. Paul's?
Things are going super well for us this year. We've got just a marvelous group of students, great group of freshmen. I've got about four or five young men who are interested in studying for the office of the Holy Ministry, and we meet every Wednesday morning to study the Lutheran Confessions with those guys. They're very, very faithful. They're taking Greek at the U right now to get ready for seminary. Just a marvelous group of students that we're working with. Tremendous permanent congregation that's very supportive of the students and the ministry that we carry out here at the University of Iowa. So we're going great guns. We're having a lot of fun.
How did Taboo go, the LCMSU conference back in January?
It was amazing. It was so much fun. We had seven students from our campus ministry went down there. The plenary speakers were just outstanding. We talked about marriage. We talked about dating. Talked about homosexuality. Pretty much everything related to the sixth commandment, and just an outstanding conference. Close to 500 in attendance, all told. Marvelous worship opportunities. Really opened the door. I have found in my work here at Iowa to bring up a lot of these topics that were formerly taboo, and we get to talk about them now and look at God's Word and what it has to say. So it's about these issues that we discussed at the conference. So really, really well-done conference, well-planned out. We're very grateful for LCMSU and what they're doing for us these days. It's really tremendous stuff.
Well, very good. Glad to hear that things are going well and that the Taboo conference went well. And let's talk about your article related to your presentation, I believe, at the LCMSU Taboo Conference. Before he goes to Jared, now I think we've all heard the commercials on TV or on other radio stations. Not that we all listen to other radio stations, of course, but Jared, you know, he's before he goes shopping for the ring, right?
Yep.
Why is it important? Well, let's start with marriage first before we get into planning for marriage. What is God's design for marriage?
Yeah, this is a pre-fall gift between one man and one woman to bring them into a one flesh union. God's math of one man plus one woman equals one flesh. This unity of mind and body and heart, in which the couple experiences and receives God's great love for them. So it's His design, His gift, His blessing. Your spouse is a gift from God. You see this with Adam and his rejoicing when the woman is brought to him. He bursts into poetry. You know, this is a great thing. This is finally it. I have my compliment, my companion. So it's a marvelous gift of God. And between one man and one woman, until, if you will, the undertaker comes and takes one of them away.
Hmm. So God has this design for marriage. Why then should a couple discuss, or what should a couple discuss prior to planning for marriage?
Yeah, you know, and I had this set up as prior to engagement, viewing engagement as you've made the decision. You are committed to one another. Now we wait for the day in which you make these vows before God and congregation. And the way I approached it, there's a lot of things you could talk about. I approached it from the standpoint of the marriage rite that we use out of the Lutheran service book talks about marriage being established by God for mutual companionship, that the man and the woman find delight in each other, and for the procreation of children. And looked at those three areas to say, let's discuss the important matters that fall here. So mutual companionship, as I looked at that, I thought, well, the first thing you should discuss is your faith. You're going to make a commitment before God and congregation. It's going to take place in front of an altar. If the couple is united in their confession and shares the confession of that altar, that's a marvelous thing, and that will serve for mutual companionship and unity in the marriage. It's also good to discuss how the couple is going to spend some time together. One of the things I did researching this article, and I gave this as a presentation in our district as well, was the idea that one of the top reasons for divorce, if not the top reason for divorce, is the couple's failure to spend time together, to check in with each other each day. How are you doing? What's going on with you? Is really important to do. We can end up with a situation where if we don't have a plan for that, much like your freshman year at college, when you got the roommate that you, well, it didn't really work out, and you just kind of existed in the 10x10 space there, but you never spent any time together. So we really advocate finding a way that each day you're going to check in with each other. And of course, a part of that, I think, should be taking time for prayer and scripture together, that you pray together for each other about the things that are going on in the family and your relationship. That will certainly help. So that's a great thing to talk about. Also talking about finances. Who's going to be the household treasurer? How are you going to make and spend money? That's another huge bone of contention in a lot of marriages that leads a lot of folks down the road towards divorce. Is they're not united in how are we going to handle our finances. So that can be a problem as well. And all those would be things to discuss under the aspect of mutual companionship in the marriage. When you look at God establishing marriage for the delight of the couple, you know, we're talking about the sexual relationship. And we all know that the sexual relationship and God's design for sex is not really approved of in society today. Society gives us a whole different understanding of what sex is, what it's about, how it's to be used. We get that from movies, television, the prevalence of pornography that's out there. So it's helpful if a couple can sit with the scriptures, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Corinthians, Song of Songs, and look at what is this gift of God? Why did He give it? How is it to be used in our union as man and wife? That would be an important thing for couples to discuss. If things are going the way they're supposed to, they're not having a sexual relationship, but they can certainly look at what God's gift is in the sexual relationship.
Lastly, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go right ahead.
I was going to say, lastly, with just a minute left, how can a pastor be helpful in these discussions or helping a couple prepare for engagement and marriage?
I think if they're at a point where they're thinking, hey, we're thinking about getting engaged, go talk to your pastor and say, we know we should be talking about stuff. what can we talk about, Pastor? And he can sit and help you develop a list of conversations to have and a good discussion to have with the man or the woman that you're looking at marrying, and he can even help to facilitate those discussions.
Mm-hmm.
We are here ready to help. We want marriages to work. We want husbands and wives to be happily married and to stay together until death parts them.
And do that before you announce your engagement.
Yeah, before you make an engagement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't commit to something and then say, "Oh, hey, I'm curious."
Well, this isn't going to work out.
This isn't going to work out.
Because then you have to go back and tell everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Make sure it's going to work out before you get there.
Right.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Pastor Mons. Thanks so much for being our guest today. The Reverend Max Mons, pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church and University Center in Iowa City, Iowa. Thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
Thank you, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to check in with Deaconess Shana Mitchell from LCMSU in Muncie, Indiana. Hope you can stick around for that conversation as well. And later on, we'll also talk with Deaconess Tiffany Manor from LCMS New England District right here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
This year, KFUO Radio is celebrating 90 years of broadcast excellence in St. Louis and around the world on the World Wide Web. I'm Pastor Scott Murray of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. I'm here to encourage you to become a day sponsor in this exciting anniversary year. My wife and I sponsored a day on our 31st wedding anniversary in October. As a day sponsor, you get to tell a worldwide audience the reason for your joy in the Lord Jesus, giving thanks for all that He has done. And as a day sponsor, you're supporting great programming like Reformation Rush Hour and Book Talk. Where else are you going to hear such solid Lutheran programming? There are so many things for which to give thanks and celebrate by being a day sponsor of Worldwide KFUO Radio. You should call today.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are taking a look at the March 2015 Lutheran Witness. Joining us by phone today, Deaconess Shana Mitchell. She's the Director of Campus Ministry at Grace Lutheran Church and Ball State Religious Advisor for LCMSU there in Muncie, Indiana, and the author of Redeeming Broken Bodies here in the 2015 March Lutheran Witness. Deaconess Mitchell, thanks so much for being our guest today. Welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. Always good to check in with you. How are things going at LCMSU there in Muncie, Indiana?
They're going great. Although the students are gone this week, they're away for spring break. We do have a couple of students here. But it's been a good Lent. We've been doing taboo table talks before the midweek services, talking about different taboo subjects.
Cool theme.
Anxiety and depression was one of them.
Well, and speaking of taboo, were you involved in the taboo conference? You were one of the presenters, right?
Mm-hmm. I did a sectional entitled mm-hmm. The Journey is Too Great for Me, and it dealt with the church's response and Christ's response to those suffering with depression and anxiety.
Who is immune to depression and anxiety?
Hmm.
Anybody?
I don't know of anyone.
Quite often we think, you know, sometimes we think of people, whether we think of ourselves or others, as superhuman or immune to depression and anxiety. Maybe people we have a lot of respect for, people who are important figures in society or in media. We think that, or in entertainment even, that they're immune to depression and anxiety, but really anybody.
Yeah, and it's kind of a taboo subject, so not talking about, I think, leads us to believe that great public figures or great people of faith have never suffered from anxiety or depression or grief. But that's simply not the case. In fact, one of the people we looked at in our sectional was C.F.W. Walther and his personal struggle with depression and anxiety and how his friends pointed him back to Christ and cared for him.
Why is it so hard for us to discuss our struggles with depression and anxiety?
Well, I think it makes us feel vulnerable. You know, you're admitting something about yourself that is difficult to talk about. It's not a happy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an accomplishment. It's not a great gift we've received necessarily. It's the sad stuff. It's the burden stuff that we share with one another.
Do you think sometimes we view it as a weakness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And the church is the perfect place to talk about weakness because Christ deals with our weakness. He deals with our brokenness. And so this is our place to talk about it.
I'm curious, in the table talk conversations regarding anxiety and depression, what were some of the things that the students brought up? What were some of the insights that they had?
Well, that this is a topic that tends to be taboo in all of our different vocations,
mm-hmm.
some more than others. It's definitely taboo in the workplace, often taboo in the classroom, sometimes taboo at church, depending what church you're at.
Mm-hmm.
But friendship and family, those two places seem to be the places where we were maybe more open to talking about this taboo topic.
How do you go about if someone... if a friend or a family member, someone brings it up that they're struggling, maybe they do it very subtly, bring up that they're struggling with anxiety or depression, how can one help?
Well, I think there's three things to keep in mind. The first thing being to listen. When someone opens up to you about depression, they're opening up about something deeply personal. And it can be painful and difficult to talk about, and so it can come out a little slowly in pieces. And so if we listen and challenge ourselves to be comfortable with those long pauses, those minutes of silence in the conversation, sometimes that can draw more out of our friend or loved one that they really need to get out. The second thing to keep in mind is knowing when to refer and what professionals to refer to. And if you don't know who to refer to or how, definitely talk to your church workers, your pastor, your deaconess, your DCE, or church leader. And the third thing to keep in mind is pointing to Christ, because a mental health professional isn't necessarily going to do that. In fact, they probably won't. That's not really their job. But as a fellow Christian, as a fellow believer, that is your place, to share with your friend, your loved one, that Christ is with them in the midst of their suffering.
And that would be the most important thing, right?
Definitely, definitely.
The most important thing to share with them is what Christ has to say regarding anxiety, depression, brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
What is that word? What does Christ say to one who is broken, to one who is experiencing anxiety, depression, who's suffering?
Well, I think what he says to us is the same thing his messenger, the angel, said to Elijah when he was fleeing from Queen Jezebel, feeling great anxiety, great depression, so great that he even asked the Lord to take his life away. He didn't want to live anymore. And the angel says, arise and eat. And the angel gives him something to eat and something to drink. And then he goes back to sleep, and the angel comes back, the messenger, and wakes him up. And he says, arise and eat. The journey is too great for you. And that's how it is for us. When we're struggling, we are recognizing this journey is too great for us. And the Lord sends his messenger, his pastor, to us to provide us with the word and the sacrament that will sustain us through the rest of this journey.
And that's the beautiful thing about word and sacrament. You know, our bodies, our minds even, are all affected, by the fall.
Mm-hmm.
All weakened with sin and the fall into sin. The word and sacrament, those are things that, well, they transcend time. They connect us to that which is eternal.
Yeah, this is what's going to carry us to that last day when our bodies are restored to perfect wholeness, when our brain isn't going to be plagued by not enough dopamine or some type of imbalance or a traumatic brain injury or something that affects our head and our heart. And on that last day, our bodies will be made perfectly whole. And until then, we look to Christ and his body, where he took on human suffering and our frailty, where he came to serve us.
Amen. Amen. Well, Deaconess Mitchell, anything else, any events coming up at Ball State or at LCMSU there at Ball State and with Grace Lutheran Church? What's coming up this year that you're looking forward to?
A mission trip coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a mercy trip to Resurrection Lutheran Church in Louisville to help with further repurposing a building they're using for their Sudanese outreach. So we're really excited
about that.
And we're also looking forward to, we hear that down the road, KFUO is going to be doing some programs geared towards college students. Student Union. So we're looking forward to that.
Is the word out about that already?
You know, they did mention it at KFUO. So we were excited to hear that.
Yeah, we are very excited about it as well. The partnership with LCMSU and the potential for, there are some things in the works. I don't want to reveal too many details because I don't want to get in trouble.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to have the czar of LCMSU on my case.
No, you don't want that.
Yes, I know there are some plans for a great program. I think it's going to be great, addressing some of these very things that our students deal with on a daily basis, addressing these topics from a student's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to it.
Very excited about that. And there are some really neat people involved in that. I know that Reverend Marcus Zill, director of LCMSU and campus ministry for the LCMS, is involved in that. And if I understand correctly, perhaps the Reverend Craig D'Onofrio might be involved in that a little bit, too. He might have his fingers on
great.
It a little bit. So I'm sure that they're going to have a great time and have a chance to cover a lot of important things when it comes to campus ministry.
Well, thank you.
I'm so excited about your mission trip. I know we talked last year about one of your mercy trips, I believe.
Yeah, we actually went to the same place. This will be our second time going there.
That's awesome.
And we'll get to see some progression that they've made since the last time we were there. Now they have a roof, so that's very exciting.
Isn't it amazing how much of a difference a roof makes?
It does. You know, it's a very important element in a building.
So true. So true. Well, I'm so thankful for the work that you're doing there. And thanks for writing, for presenting on this at the LCMSU Taboo Conference, and glad that it's in this month's Lutheran Witness. Great stuff. I love these short articles. Did you get a chance to read through any of the other articles yet?
I haven't received my March issue
yet, but I cannot wait for it to get here.
I'm so excited.
I'm sure it's in the mail. It'll be there soon. Great stuff. All of the articles are one-page stuff. This would be a good issue to order some extras of to hand out to students who attended the Taboo Conference, because it's a nice summary of the presentations.
Yeah.
They're all one-page articles. So
the topics were all so timely, so relevant. And the speakers were all just wonderful. So.
Yes, good stuff, good stuff. Well, thank you so much, Deaconess Mitchell. Thanks so much for being our guest. Deaconess Shana Mitchell, Director of Campus Ministry at Grace Lutheran Church and the Ball State Religious Advisor for LCMSU in Muncie, Indiana. Thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family.
Thanks.
You bet. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to check in with Deaconess Tiffany Manner. She's Deaconess for Human Care in the LCMS New England District. She has an article in the LCMS Lutheran Witness this month as well. Hope you can stick around for that conversation and more right here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Thank you.
Worldwide, KFUO has been listener-supported for more than 90 years, teaching the good news of Jesus upon the cross and witnessing to the world on God's mercy. We are on AM 850 in St. Louis and online at kfuo.org, where you will find our Give Now button. It's easy, safe, and secure to give to the Christ-centered broadcast ministry of Worldwide KFUO. You'll find us online at kfuo.org.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations, and that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, March 3rd. We're taking a look at the March 2015 Lutheran Witness. Joining us by phone this morning, Deaconess Tiffany Manner. She's Deaconess for Human Care in the LCMS New England District. Good morning, Tiffany. It's so good to have you with us today.
Thanks for inviting me to talk with you.
Tell us about your work in Human Care in the New England District, serving there as Deaconess.
Yeah, I have the privilege of being specifically focused to care for our church workers and their family members. So my job description is written in human care, and I can certainly support and be a resource to our congregations in their mercy works and human care efforts. But I get to spend the bulk of my time focusing on the church workers, both the roster church workers as well as the other folks who serve in our parishes.
What a neat vocation! What a kind of an unusual vocation to get to care for people on a regular basis, especially for our church workers, those who are like you, caring for others.
Yeah. Our district president Tim Yaden and the board of directors said, we just want to make sure that these folks are supported and know that they've got, they're loved and cared for. I mean, their congregation members, so many times do so well at that, but the district, is sending a really strong message that you're important to the Savior, you're important to, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and we just want to love on you.
Well, very good. Well, you were involved with the LCMSU Taboo Conference back in January as well. What was your take on the conference, the gathering of so many college students and those involved in campus ministry?
Oh, it was a wonderful conference, wonderful time together for the students to gather around the Word, to hear from some experts and who've really grappled with the idea of, what are the things that we often think we ought not talk about, and so let's, bring these things out in the light and let's learn a little better how we can just be Christ-centered in our world as in their vocation of students, but also as, children, friends to one another's, and wonderful worship services. Pastor Marcus Bill did a great job putting it together. It was a fun time.
Well, good. Glad that it was a good opportunity to gather so many people together. Let's talk about your topic that was presented there and also is an article in the Lutheran Witness this month, social media. How do you use social media in your daily life?
Well, for me as a deaconess, particularly focused on mercy, and so often people who are maybe struggling in life, serving an entire district. Our district is six states, and our church workers are spread out. So a lot of my communicating with them will be from a distance. I try and visit and be face-to-face with them, but there's just a lot of times where we're communicating via text and email and Facebook, Instagram, all of those ways. So for me, seeing and responding to what's going on in people's lives that I specifically serve is an important part of my vocation as a deaconess. But this isn't the only way. I've just noticed in years of being in social media, a lot of people are living out their lives and sharing some really intimate things that are going on through Facebook, through Twitter and Instagram and all of these places. And so it's sometimes people respond in helpful ways, and other times, not so much. I think probably most people who are on these forms of communication have seen, you know, the train wrecks of people feeling kind of beaten up by what others are responding to them when they post.
I'm glad you compared it to a train wreck, because quite often it is like a train wreck. It's a horrible thing, but you just can't stop looking.
It's so public.
You just keep going. You have to watch and find out what's going to happen next. It's something about our human nature that's drawn to that, our sinful human nature, I'm sure, that's drawn to that. We want to see what's going to happen next. And so social media is kind of a place where that happens, where people air their business, business that doesn't necessarily need to be aired. Maybe it might be appropriate for a private or personal conversation, but not for everyone or all of their friends to see, for everyone, all their associates to see and to be involved in. What does this say about us and our felt needs?
Yeah, you know, I think that this really, seeing so many, and it's not everyone by any means, but you know, there are certain people who just need to share in this forum in a public way. And you know, sometimes they're looking for validation, they're looking for folks to understand. You know, they're just so hurt by things that may happen. You know, or sometimes it's on the other side. They're so excited, you know, if it's a new baby, a new job, someone was baptized. They're great things too, but then there's the other side of it. When there are the hard things, they just they're demonstrating this need for presence and support because they're choosing to communicate it. But it's just a different form of communication than what we, you know, maybe had generations ago. So we've got to think about how can we use this in beneficial ways and blessing and support of one another when they come out with these things in such a public forum.
It's, I guess, what, you know, when posting on Facebook, because it's so easy to do, you can, I mean, Facebook or other social media, Twitter, things like that, you can do that from a laptop or a mobile device. I mean, as easy as your phone. Something happens, you're emotionally sent off into some other sphere because something happens and you want to rant or you're upset or you're sad. And all you have to do is type with thumbs very quickly and you put it out there in the public square. And it's basically the same thing as standing out in the middle of the city square and shouting this out to people.
Yeah.
But we don't see it as that.
Right. But the blessing of that can be there are times when maybe you don't have access to a person face to face, and you can receive the support, the prayer support you might need via using this. In the middle of the night when you're at the hospital with a loved one and you're feeling brokenhearted and alone, if you put it on Facebook, there's other people who are awake and with hopefully they'll respond in a positive, loving way and supporting in prayer and reaching out and you know, being present with someone, even if it's through electronic communication. So that, you know, can be the wonderful blessing of it as well.
You're right. When someone puts it out there publicly, then hopefully someone else will respond faithfully. How can we do that? How can we use social media in a helpful way?
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, if we had a few years to discuss this, it would be good. Because I think, particularly for Christians, it's really important to think about this communication the way we would if we were face-to-face with someone and they're sharing these details. So we need to put some thoughts and consideration behind it. We need to really consider what we know from Scripture, what we understand from theology, to help us to respond appropriately. So by that, I say several years, C.F.W. Walter, wrote volumes on the proper distinction of law and gospel and how to communicate with Christians with that. So, I think it can be kind of complex, but at the same time, we need to listen really well, ask questions, and maybe seek the help of other folks when we decide how we're going to respond. And, asking a pastor, someone just shared on Facebook about how devastated they were about the death of a family member. And I just, I feel inadequate. I don't know what to say. So rather than not say anything, to get someone to help us decide what to would be an appropriate Christian response, that can be really helpful. But we have to be intentional about thinking what we're going to say and not just, you know, open our mouths or, in this case, let our fingers start tapping and just words kind of fall out.
Mm. You're right. So often it's easy just to sit down and just start writing something, whatever the first thing is that you're thinking. Well, quite often the first thing we think isn't the most faithful or helpful, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. I always liken it to Job. When Job was going through all of his travails in chapter 2, we hear how his friends came and they sat with him for 7 days. And then they started, after 7 days, they started opening their mouths and saying things that were particularly unhelpful and not scripturally helpful for Job, and how he should, what did he do to upset God and things like that. They were better off just, being with him and not saying a word than they were when they tried to offer him all kinds of advice. So sometimes if we use social media in that way to just be present with someone, if we don't know what to say something like, I'm praying for you, or how can I be praying for you, might be the best tact rather than just trying to offer them all kinds of advice about what they should do.
Sure. We don't necessarily need to fix their problem for them or give them lots of advice. Sometimes just listening and letting them know that we're listening can be the most helpful thing. So that leads to more conversations where we can speak the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. And, what we do know is that everybody needs to be pointed to Christ. We may not know precisely, we might think we know, but we really truly don't know what they may need to do or to hear. But we do know that they need Christ. And particularly in hard times, people need to be remembering that Christ is present with them in the midst of that suffering and that hardship. So if we point to Christ, when we tell people we're praying for them, those are some of the great ways to support and love them through social media, and as well as any other way we're communicating, text, phone, face to face.
Well, very good. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Anything coming up? We've got just about a minute left as we wrap up our conversation. Anything else you want to share with us that's going on maybe in the New England district or any other resources you want to point us to today?
As far as resources, I've said people are interested in thinking about how we use social media, in particular to support people. I think it's always really good to consider, distinguishing law and gospel. And I noticed on, the KFUO AM.org homepage that there's Law and Gospel with Pastor Baker. Concordia Publishing House has lots of resources on distinguishing law and gospel. I think that's a really great thing for our lay people, for people like myself to consider. Our pastors really deal with this stuff well, and they're so well trained. Talk to our pastors, read up on some of these things. It helps us to relate to one another well if we can distinguish law and gospel more, sharing scripture and sharing Christ with one another.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Our guest today, Deaconess Tiffany Manor, Deaconess for Human Care in the LCMS New England District. Thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
Thanks, Gabby.
All righty. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. Hope you can stick around for that here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.